Hey everyone, welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group, and let's begin our time together with coming within, turning our attention within. Chances are we've been very drawn without today to pay attention to the external. And we're taking a break from that, bringing our awareness within ourselves to that one place that we all share. And that is this altar to love, to Holy Spirit within each and every one of us. And if you feel like your mind is busy and wandering, no worries. Just notice that. And remember your willingness. That's all we ever need. Is to simply remember that above all else, not even above all else, maybe just a tiny smidgen of willingness, that's all we need. And taking a nice, mindful breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. All right. So, if you have the Sparkle Edition, which is what I am reading from, we are on page 497. It's the second full paragraph on the page. Hallucinations disappear when they are recognized for what they are. That's how our sentence begins. In the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it is chapter 20, paragraph number 74. In the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's chapter 20, part 8, paragraph number 8. I have the second printing, the second edition of the FIP, and it's my page 443, but if you have the newest printing, it's probably different. So again, FIP, chapter 20, part 8, paragraph number 8. And if you have the CE, the Circle of Atonement edition, it's page 657, paragraph 5, sentence number 6. The paragraph breaks are very different in that edition. So this has been a really, I always say that, this has been an awesome section. They're all awesome sections. We've been talking about the vision of sinlessness and how Holy Spirit's vision is corrective, that it sees straight past what's false to the truth beyond, and how it's one or the other. We're either seeing or we are not. I hope this doesn't mess anybody up too much, but where we're beginning, I feel moved to just reread the last paragraph that we ended with last week, and then I'll let you know when we are at the new place that I already just announced of where we're reading. So the first sentence I'm about to read is, "Judgment is but a toy." The only folks who might have trouble finding that will be in the CE, since the paragraph breaks are different, but I do see it in the paragraph before where I instructed. So I'm going to read that to begin with. "Judgment is but a toy, a whim, the senseless means to play the idle game of death in your imagination. But vision sets all things right, bringing them gently within the kindly sway of heaven's laws. What if you recognize this world is a hallucination? What if you really understood you made it up? What if you realized that those who seem to walk about in it, to sin and die, attack and murder, and destroy themselves, are wholly unreal? Could you have faith in what you see if you accepted this? And would you see it?" Excuse me. So now I'm going to begin where I just said that we were going to start reading. It's funny, I have not had a hoarse voice all day, and I always feel like it's the ego being like, no, don't get into this, but here we go. "Hallucinations disappear when they are recognized for what they are. This is the healing and the remedy. Believe them not, and they are gone. And all you need to do is recognize you did this. Once you accept this simple fact, and take unto yourself the power you gave them, you are released from them. One thing is sure, hallucinations serve a purpose, and when that purpose is no longer held, they disappear. Therefore, the question never is whether you want them, but always, do you want the purpose which they serve? This world seems to hold out many purposes, each different and with different values, yet they are all the same. Again, there is no order, but a seeming hierarchy of values. And I'm just going to read the very next sentence just to clarify something. The beginning of the next paragraph says, only two purposes are possible, and one is sin, the other holiness. So those are our two purposes. And every purpose that the world says that we need or should pursue, or every purpose that we adopt of the world that seemingly gives us a sense of self, enter in the small self again. There, the ego has then found its way in again. The purpose, the whole world repurposed under the Holy Spirit is now holiness, and this is what we are all learning how to do, to look at the things, the places where we still hold on, and allow those places to be repurposed. So our purpose can now be holiness instead of what the Course says here is sin, but we can also think about that as just separation, this whole world being an utter hallucination, a complete hallucination to utterly convince ourselves that we are, in fact, separate bodies, separate minds, separate from another, and subject to aging, sickness, death, all those not-so-fun things that the ego would use to convince us that we are separate from one another. So it says so clearly in the paragraph that we just read, hallucinations disappear when they are recognized for what they are. We of ourselves cannot see a hallucination for a hallucination because we are hallucinating when we think that we are limited to these bodies. So we need something outside of our thought system to learn how to use that outside vision, which is what this whole section has been about, to be able to see truly. And then what's false just merely falls away because we don't need it anymore. And I don't think Paula's on the line tonight, but Paula has a great story about quitting smoking, and literally it just fell away one day when she had no use for it anymore. And I love how simple and how easy these things can just fall away when we see them for what they are, which is just not necessary. They don't serve holiness. We don't need them. I'm going to get quiet. Who would like to share?
Well, this is, it's Igor. This is a very big topic, actually, what this paragraph brings up. This subject is following throughout the whole course. For example, in chapter 16, there is a line, your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all of the barriers within yourself, which you have built against it. Or in chapter 11, it says, no one can escape from illusions unless he looks at them, for not looking is the way they are protected. Yeah? So the struggle a lot of course students have is that they think that they have to somehow get into holiness, get into light, become angels, and never feel bad emotions. And if they somehow do feel bad emotions, suddenly they start feeling very guilty, and they think, oh, no, I'm a course student, so I don't have to judge, I don't have to, get angry, get upset or something. Which is another trick from the ego. Because what the course asks us to do is to do the exact opposite, is to get into the basement, is to become, the plumber. And get dirty, you see? Get your head against dirty. Get into all anger. Get into all hate, all guilt, all of those negative emotions, and look at them with the Holy Spirit to apply genuine forgiveness to all that. And I've seen it many times that people say, no, how we should get into we should seek for love, we should seek for peace, you know, we should go there. And unfortunately, it's not the way, or maybe fortunately, it's not the way it goes, the Course. What the Course asks us to do, as this paragraph also says, hallucinations disappear when they are recognized for what they are. Yeah? This is the healing and the remedy. Not avoiding the fact that you are hallucinating, not the fact that you're mad. You have to get into madness. Don't be shy about it, that you have judgments, you're full of judgments, full of hate, full of anger, and just invite the Holy Spirit to all of those darkness, to all of this basement, and forgive all that. Thank you.
Thank you, Igor. And I want to just emphasize that what you're describing is how not to take a spiritual bypass. So that was beautiful and so helpful, because we are so tempted to not want to go into the basement. And I'm really, really learning experientially how important it is to allow ourselves to be where we are at. And I shared this with you all a couple weeks back, just about our two chickens that we lost this summer, and willing to turn to the mind to heal, and yet still feeling that vacillation of an external remedy, being something that I still believe in. And so I hope this is making sense, because this is actually a much longer story, but even in my beliefs about healing and sickness, I just have to fully be where I am. And so that means, going through it, being in it, going into the basement, and not trying to bypass over it by instead saying, oh, I'm going to use my mind, I'm going to use my mind to heal and just only rely on the Holy Spirit, and yet I still believe that these bodies are real. That the two, I hope that's clear, how the two, how that would be a bypass. For me to believe that a body is a real thing and then say, oh, nope, I want to use, my mind to heal and only my mind, while still believing in the reality of a hallucination, it's not going to work that way. So I have to be where I'm at. So thank you, Igor. I hope what I said just made sense and wasn't totally confusing, but the need to not bypass is really important. So thank you.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
This is Meg.
Hi.
What I wanted to add, which is very kind of special, that when negative things come up, things that come up because we're a person and we're dwelling in the ego, not necessarily by escaping them and ignoring them, but when we look at them, what that does is it puts a space between us and the ego. Mm-hmm. And then we are not totally engaged in them anymore. So just witnessing whatever negativity appears, just actually witnessing it, is a very miraculous thing. And sometimes it's very difficult to do that because we're so engaged in our story and who we are as an identity. But being a witness, actually, really, it's like having a timeout. And you have to have the intent to do that, to just pause, to stop and look. And then it won't hurt you as much, because it would be you looking at the ego and instead of being involved in the story of the ego.
Thank you, Meg. I would just also add, to get some Course lingo in there, that we're witnessing it with Holy Spirit. So making that conscious choice at some point, whether it's before, after, during, to witness it with Holy Spirit. As Igor said that before, and we've talked about that many, many times, that step is key. So thank you.
I'd like to say something too. This is Susan.
Sure.
Hi. I'm doing lesson 294 in the course, in the workbook. And I have been, you know, struggling with the idea, like you with your chickens. Those chickens were very real to you. And my body is very real to me, and our bodies are real to us. And how do we get around that? And this lesson blew my mind. Let me read part of it. My body is a wholly neutral thing. So this lesson is saying my body is, it is, and it's a neutral thing. It has a purpose, and when its purpose is done, it is laid aside. It is not sick, nor old, nor hurt. It is but functionless, unneeded, and cast off. Isn't that the coolest thing? I mean, that really helps a lot. We have to purpose our, we have these bodies that we can use for one purpose or another, as it says in the, you just read. But it is acknowledging that we do have bodies, and I don't know how exactly that fits in with the other part, that we don't have them. Or, I'm confused there. Anybody want to address that part of it?
It's that we've made it real for ourselves. When we begin chapter 21, very, very, very beginning, the very beginning of the chapter says, projection makes perception. The world you see is what you gave it, nothing more than that. But though it is no more than that, it is not less. Therefore, to you, it is important. So we've made it important. We've made it in our minds really, really, really important and really, really real. So although it is completely neutral, we've given everything we see all the meaning it has for us. So it seems very real in our minds when, you know, in truth, it is speaking to, you know, the fact that this is all a big hallucination. So it's very real to us. That's why, going back to what Igor's comment was to begin with, that's why we need to not bypass.
Yeah.
So thank you, Susan, for that lesson. That's one of my favorites. I love that lesson. It is good. Super helpful.
It seems interesting, too, that it said, if we're ill, that is error. That's a defense. In here, it says, our body falls away when it's time. We're neither sick nor old, or what does it say? Yeah, not sick nor old nor hurt. Well, I'm 73, and I was at a birthday party, and somebody took my picture, and holy mackerel, you know, I mean, I'm all crinkled up, and that's what happened. So it's hard to accept. I mean, I'm really attached, I guess, to a body. I've always,
as we all are.
Yeah, I've had a wonderful time with it. It's a healthy, vigorous, flexible, lively, strong, and I still am, but I'm still crinkled up. So anyway, the ego is working on this like mad today. Anyway, thanks for listening to that.
Thank you. Thank you. And again, that's where, like, whatever we seemingly see, a temptation, and I don't know if this is where you would go, because this is where, like, the trap I've fallen into, is to say, oh, well, if I'm sick, or if I'm seeing signs of aging, or if I'm seeing, you know, this or that, gosh, if the Course says if the body is laid aside, it's not sick nor old nor hurt, I must not be doing this right. You know, I must not be X, Y, Z. And that's the trap. That is an ego trap. And we are being asked to not use the body's eyes to see, to really learn another type of vision. So if we catch ourselves judging ourselves, that becomes that opportunity then to bring it to Holy Spirit to say, oh, there I go again. You know, it's coming up again. Yep. So, and that's what this whole section is
about,
the misvision.
Part. Not
yeah, we do all the time. We do all the
time.
Thank you. Thank you. I heard Matt next.
Oh, hey, thanks. Wow, this is really powerful. I'm getting so much out of this. So a few things. When Igor was talking, I was just like, such a huge yes. And then when you I love that term. That's how we spiritual bypass. That was really important. And I love how this conversation has sort of chimed in about the body. And I just wanted to name and just bring to the spirit of the group a few things with this because it's just so helpful. So I guess two things I got. One was the hallucination and the purpose of the hallucination. Like, I love that it said, like, of course, what? I don't know. I can't remember exactly what it said, but you don't want the hallucination. The question is, do you want the purpose? And so today I started to experience this, like, intense pain in my – somewhere in my body. It's not important where in my body it was. And it felt very real, you know. And then it clicked as Igor was talking, and then we read the part about the purpose versus the hallucination. I was like, well, the purpose is to reaffirm and to reassert, like, that I'm separate and that I'm not part of. And then it's like, well, what's that really about? And it's just really interesting how the ego wreaks havoc. You know, I'm a super introvert who has a fairly extroverted life in my town, and have a couple of different roles that I play publicly, and I've been really out there with a few things, and I've been putting myself out there in some vulnerable ways and doing a lot of different things, and very cool things are happening. But man, I started to freak out about it, started to feel so much pressure about it, and started to I got my first hate emoji on a post I had wrote. I don't know if it's the hater emoji. And, you know, it's just amazing how quickly that can turn into stuff. So I realized, really, this pain is just so I don't really have to look at what's really going on, which is that there's fear. And I remember studying with John Sarno. I don't know if anybody on this call knew who John Sarno was, a great mind-body physician. He was a pioneer of mind-body medicine. And he would always say that most people's pain was just a ruse. It was all a hallucination to keep them from looking within, keep them from looking at the buried, unconscious emotional material that wanted to rise to the surface. And granted, he had sort of this neo-Freudian approach to things, but man, it makes so much sense. So I just wanted to say that, and I so appreciate everybody's honesty on the call, because, you know, I guess I could risk metaphysical on this one, but I just really like to be real and honest on these calls and just say, wow, you know, me too. Like, me too. Yeah, so I just wanted to say that, and just so willing to give the purpose of the hallucination over to the Holy Spirit so that that purpose can be transmuted, and that, you know, whatever my body is saying or whatever my life is saying is a gateway back to Spirit. Oh, the last thing I wanted to say too is so funny. I totally felt like I was a course flunky today. And, you know, I was reading the lesson and it was like, whatever your suffering is, just realize it's not you. I was like, oh man, this is effing blop blop. And it is me, and I don't even know what to do. And then I'm, like, listening to Lisa Natoli's commentary on the Course Plus, and I'm like, I don't fucking get any of this today. So I'm so glad I could just say that, because I just thank you.
We, I'll speak for myself. I get it, Matt. I totally, totally get
thanks
it. We're
sure.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm right there. Yeah, yeah.
The best.
Right. Yep, you are. That was so super helpful. And there are those days I've shared with you all before that I've had times when it hasn't happened in a little while that I can remember, but I'll read the reading that we're going to do for the call, be like, what the heck is this saying? Like, I have no freaking idea today because I'm just not in my right mind. And then always, you know, coming together with all of you, it's this ability to just then let Corinne step out of the way, and then when we read on the call that night, it was like crystal clear in my mind, and just the contrast was so funny to me when we're open and, you know, and when we're not. But I just want to emphasize, Matt, what you said, because it's so important. You picked up on a really, really important piece in the reading. Do you want the purpose? Like, do you want the underlying purpose of all of this, which is separation? Or do you want union and holiness? Recognizing, though, that every ego thing that we think we know, that's actually not part of holiness. And we don't lose anything in this process. We only lose fear. But we have to acknowledge and look at that piece. And then the other thing, actually, that I wanted to mention that came up as you were sharing was I can relate, as you all know, I had like my PhD in hypochondria, and there was a sentence, I did a video blog about this a while ago, and some of you might have seen it, but I was describing something very similar with a pain, and it was just persistent, and I started noticing that tiny little fear voice saying, oh, what is this? You know, you might want to go to the doctor. And I read in the course, it says that the body will remain guilt's messenger and act as it directs as long as you believe that guilt is real. And that was a huge aha moment for me, because immediately I thought, you know, it's not saying that the body will remain guilt's messenger and act as it directs as long as you believe that the body is real. It's as long as you believe that guilt is real. So right there, it's the same thing that you just highlighted, Matt. It's not the hallucination, the body, it's the purpose, which is guilt and separation, and in believing that that guilt was real, because certainly I immediately thought of all the ways I felt guilty and laid guilt on others. As I started looking at all that and giving it to Holy Spirit, you better believe
wow.
that pain fell away. So,
thank you.
I thank you for sharing and for your honesty.
You.
It's just so awesome.
Thank you.
Yay.
Hey, Corinne.
Hi, Deidre.
How are you?
Deidre.
I just thought I would share something really quick. I had an interesting experience the last 2 days. I was, you know, kind of having a defense against the truth going on, and I was spending a lot of time in the bathroom. And something just changed. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I heard it like a clicking noise, so I wondered if I was still on.
Oh,
anyway,
hear you loud and clear.
I was spending a lot of time in the bathroom and feeling, you know, really nauseous and vomiting and other things going on, and I won't go into detail about what it was, but I had this moment with Holy Spirit. Like, I'm literally sitting in the bathroom, and I'm like, okay, I've got something going on here. I've got a defense against the truth going on, and I don't need to suffer. I literally said that to the Holy Spirit in my mind. I said, I don't need to suffer, but I'm obviously, like, there's a part of my mind that is not seeing the truth right now. So I literally sat there in the bathroom, and I gave my body permission to just do whatever the hell it wants. I said, you want to vomit, vomit. You want to, you know, have whatever else you want to do, do it. And the moment I did that, it was like everything just released and it was gone.
Wow.
And it's like, because when we offer resistance to something, it's like giving the belief in its strength, right? So as soon as I was in that place where I was like, do whatever, because, like, you know what? I'm not resisting you. I'm not fighting you. I'm not whatever. And it was just, like, gone. So I just
That's
wanted...
awesome.
Yeah.
That is so, so awesome. I love, love, love these physical miracles, because they do happen, and yes, healing is at the level of the mind, but we sometimes do see it in form, and there, that change of mind, wow, that's awesome, Deidre. You know, if I can just add a little bit too, because as you were talking, this, I had totally forgotten about this. My husband, 2-3 days ago, texted me from work saying that he wasn't feeling well. He thinks he's getting sick. And I immediately noticed my thoughts go ba-boom, 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 like down into the ego, down into the basement, down into, like, fear of, oh, no, we share the same toothpaste. Am I going to get it too? And I, within minutes, I started feeling my – actually, I'm not going to say that. That was just a body – an old story that I was just going to share. I started noticing my sinuses starting to ache and hurt and like feeling like I actually could be showing early signs of a cold within minutes. And I caught it, and I thought, wow, like, here is so clearly in my face. I was feeling amazing. And then he says this, and then boom, down into fear, and suddenly I'm physically not feeling well, which is not the use of empathy. We talked about this. Not the use of empathy that the Course or that the Holy Spirit is teaching. It's not to join in pain or suffering, because that's what you must refuse to understand, it says. So in just seeing that and being willing to say, you know what, no, like, I actually am willing to learn that truth is stronger than sickness. Truth is stronger than the separation, not the other way around. And I got better. I felt much better within probably about 24 hours. So, and he's doing okay too. So thank you for sharing that, Deidre, because as you're not just doing that for you. Like, it seems like your body and your healing. And yet, number one, we're all witnessing to this because you're sharing it. And number two, your change of mind, again, we all share that mind. So I can't thank you enough for being willing to be a demonstration.
I want to emphasize, too, that when we're talking about healing, this healing was not on the level of form, because, like, there was still some lingering symptoms for a little while. But it was like this... Mm-hmm. The release that I'm talking about was a release in my mind where I let go of the attachment to my body. So I was choosing with the truth of me and not my body, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does.
So
it makes
I said,
sense. And thank you for clarifying that.
I said, you know, whatever you want to do on the level of form, body, do it. Like, so if you need it, so I had, you know, some lingering quote-unquote symptoms for a little while after that, but the release had already happened. So
yeah, and that is, the healing is always at the level of the mind, and then we might see it show up in form. And in my experience, sometimes it seems like that physical change is a little lagging behind the mind healing, but that it can certainly happen. So thank you, and thank you for emphasizing that healing comes from the mind and at that level.
This is Steve. Hi.
Hi, Steve.
I read somewhere, or I've been pondering this idea that sickness is unaccepted, rejected feelings that solidify into the body. And it makes sense. Now, whether that's true all the time or this or that, but it just does encourage me to notice my feelings rather than reject and stuff them, because we know that there are a lot of studies about, you know, held resentment and cancer, et cetera, et cetera. So the idea that rejected feelings of any sort will solidify in the body. I love that.
Yeah. You know, the Course says somewhere, and I don't remember the exact wording, so I can't look it up real fast to find it, but it says something that, like, from symptoms, like, you could trace back to find the error in thinking.
And then that's right. And then we immediately forgot in order to separate that the source and that it left the source, which is our mind.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I love
right.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, but just to also emphasize too that we don't have to trace back. Could you imagine? I mean, if we had a trace back every single it's when the main belief in separation goes, the rest of it goes. So we don't have to worry about taking, you know, huge undertakings to uncover all these different fears when the one fear, our fear of God, love with a capital L, when that goes, every other error goes.
Yeah.
Thank you. let's read another paragraph. So far it's been one of those nights where I've just read one paragraph, and you know what? I think we'll finish this section tonight. I think we'll get there. Only two purposes are possible, and one is sin, the other holiness. Nothing is in between, and which you choose determines what you see. I have to read that one more time. Nothing is in between, and which you choose determines what you see. For what you see is merely how you elect to meet your goal. Hallucinations serve to meet the goal of madness. They are the means by which the outside world, projected from within, adjusts to sin and seems to witness to its reality. It still is true that nothing is without. Yet upon nothing are all projections made. For it is the projection which gives the nothing all the meaning that it holds. So I guess I'll just, what's coming forward for me at the moment is just again this idea that hallucinations, a.k.a. the world, a.k.a. belief in separate bodies, sickness, pain, it's all there. I forget who said this earlier. It's all there to just completely distract ourselves from the truth. So that's the purpose of every single hallucination under the rule of the ego. But again, as we learn to repurpose these things, now we can learn to see them differently, and I'll let those things be means to help us wake up. Anything coming up for anyone?
Hi, it's Samantha.
Hi, Samantha.
Hi. I just wanted to share, because as everyone was talking, I kind of just recalled this week having a conversation with a coworker that I went out to lunch with, and she's kind of sharing with me some fears, and she had kind of known people that had, you know, some kind of like random health crises recently, and, you know, she's kind of sharing that was, you know, concerning to her, and, you know, I could just kind of sense like the anxiety brought up for her, and I think absolutely for me in the past, I would have been joining right with her in that. I would have been, oh my goodness, you know, I get headaches too sometimes, does that mean, you know, this and that, and I think just kind of like a testament to how much setting the course kind of changes your mindset and response even to, you know, to things like that when they do come up. And I think just, you know, my response kind of, you know, my mind just really, you know, not having that identification with the body as self.
That's awesome. I've noticed. Oh, go on.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to chime in and say, like, yes, like, I've noticed that too for myself, that this really, in as we are willing to allow our identity to shift, yes, we relate differently, we don't join in the suffering or the judgmental, you know, oh my gosh, did you hear what she did, or, you know, that sort of talk too, like, I've noticed big shifts in my life like that as well, so that's really awesome that you're seeing that for yourself too. It's really a nice testament to just the fact that this work works. So awesome. Thank you, Samantha. That was great. So helpful.
This paragraph, Igor again here. This paragraph is very short, but it's so powerful, huh? This paragraph 9. Mm-hmm. Hallucinations, sentence 5. Hallucinations serve to meet the goal of madness. Yeah, method in madness, right? So we are mad here, but we have a purpose. We have a purpose. We got mad for not just by accident, not by, you know, but for a very specific reason, to attack God, you know, to hate, you know, to hate God. We hate God, and we go here to attack God, you know, and we attack God by everything, especially by prayers, you know, which is very ironic. You know, I've been thinking recently how people get together in churches supposedly to pray to God, but what they really do is they you know, insulting God. But, oh God, give me that, give me this, punish those and, you know, heal that and stuff like that. And it all says that that it all means that God created imperfect son, basically. And this is an insult on God. So we have very mad idea here to attack God. And hallucinations serve to meet this goal. Yes, we are punishing ourselves. Yes, we are masochistic, sadistic perverts here. And we even punish ourselves, you know, not punish, but, you know, torture ourselves. And we do that because hallucinations serve to meet the goal of madness, because we, and then we go to church and pray, you know, because we ask, hey, God, witness. Witness me, God, I am suffering, I am struggling, I am sick, I am dying. You see, and if God would witness this, this would mean that it all is real, that we have achieved our goal, that God indeed created imperfect son. And so the next sentence, hallucinations are the means by which the outside world, projected from within, adjusts to sin and seems to witness to its reality. It still is true that nothing is without, yeah? In chapter 18 there is a line, nothing is outside you, that is what you must ultimately learn. And this also kind of proves that it is still true. From chapter 18, nothing has changed. You know, it is still true that nothing is without. So yeah, what we see outside is just our own madness projected from without. For the purpose of this madness, that we hate God and want to attack Him. Thank you.
Thank you, Igor. I'll just add, that for anybody listening, that just sounds, you know, the whole idea of hating God and attacking God, and self-punishment, like if any of that sounds like not relatable, I will just share that, you know, that one of the ways that resonated with me was in my anxiety pattern of thinking like if I worried about it enough, I was going to prevent it when it ultimately was coming. What is that? Clearly that's self-punishment. Clearly I am driving myself into a hole. And then the Course takes it one step further and says, like, so, you know, if you're doing that to yourself, it's like we're doing it to then also, like, not even give God the pleasure of being able to punish, which God cannot. That's just an ego, you know, idea. But I did just want to add too that for any attack on God, any of that God is completely unaffected and not angry and not retaliative. It's always, always important for us to remember that, because the Course is leading us to release all of our fears of love with a capital L of God, because God is holy and only love and loving. So thank you, Igor. Let's read another paragraph. What has no meaning cannot be perceived. And meaning always looks within to find itself and then looks out. All meaning that you give the world outside must thus reflect the sight you saw within, or better, if you saw at all or merely judged against. Vision is the means by which the Holy Spirit translates your nightmares into happy dreams, your wild hallucinations that show you all the fearful outcomes of imagined sin, into the calm and reassuring sights with which He would replace them. These gentle sights and sounds are looked on happily and heard with joy. They are His substitutes for all the terrifying sights and screaming sounds the ego's purpose brought to your horrified awareness. They step away from sin, reminding you that it is not reality which frightens you, and that the errors which you made can be corrected. How beautiful is this? Mm. So again, it's emphasizing vision, that vision is the means by which the Holy Spirit translates your nightmares into happy dreams. I'm just reading it again. Your wild hallucinations that show you all the fearful outcomes of imagined sin into the calm and reassuring sights with which he would replace them. These gentle sights and sounds are looked on happily and heard with joy. They are his substitutes for all the terrifying sights and screaming sounds the ego's purpose brought to your horrified awareness. The world, if you're looking at it with your body's eyes, is horrifying. On, like, every level, if you think about things that are being done to the environment, if you think about factory farming, if you think about child abuse, animal abuse, sickness, cancer, if you look at these things with the body's eyes, it's absolutely horrifying and terrifying and filled with fear. But this is so clearly saying that the Holy Spirit is the one that translates these nightmares into happy dreams, that the Holy Spirit gives us an exchange as we bring what we see, what we feel, and what we think to Holy Spirit. We are given a replacement. We're given a replacement thought, a replacement experience. We experience that miracle, and it's only through that experiential knowing, that experiential understanding, that we build our trust that the Holy Spirit is really there, that God is nothing to fear, and that then, you know, the other beliefs we start to let go of because we just don't need them anymore. So that's the importance, sort of tying back to what Igor started with in the beginning of the call about the importance of going through and not bypassing over, feeling our feelings, going into it. That's how we then take it to the Holy Spirit, when we feel it, when we know it and say, you know what, I want the miracle instead. Show me. Show me, show me, show me. That's the Holy Spirit's job, is to show us. We can't do that correction of ourselves. We can't self-correct and try to do the Holy Spirit's job for it, because it just won't work that way. Oh, I love that paragraph. Anything coming up for anyone?
Yeah, I have a question.
Sure.
So to go from the nightmare to the happy dream, if I'm trying to get happy dreams, doesn't that also have within it intrinsically, well, that you want to hold on to?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just as much of a, like, a, some scar stick too, the good stuff too, although I find
mm-hmm.
myself chasing that, you know, the whole idea of avoiding pain and discomfort and seeking comfort and pleasure. That's both sides of the same ego coin, isn't it? So what?
Yeah.
How does that
yep.
fit? But so how does that fit with the happy dream?
Great question, and you're hitting the nail on the head when you're absolutely right. Like, what you said about the two sides, the same side of the, you know, I'm sorry, two sides of the same ego coin, and that if we are pursuing happy dreams, if we are trying to make this, you know, oh, whatever those happy dreams may be in our minds, if we're actively going after that and pursuing that and wanting it, you're absolutely right. We're just not, we're still not allowing awakening, the awakening process to begin, because we're hanging on. So in my experience, as I have become willing to let go of Corinne, to let go of my belief that I am Corinne, the more it's like a perfect barometer, the more I'm willing to let go of Corinne, the more the happy dream shows up, the more I walk around with peace in my heart despite what circumstances might be happening around me. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes stuff, I'm willing to just release, and then, like, the shit starts really hitting the fan, but it's just another opportunity. So in my experience, the happy dream comes not from pursuing the happy dream, but from pursuing the relinquishment of the small s self, from being and not even, maybe pursuing isn't the right word, but just being willing to relinquish my hold, my utter, you know, white-knuckle grip that I have on my separate self-identity as Corinne and the world itself. I go to that course quote, which is so powerful, I loose the world from all I thought it was. If you're willing to loosen the world from all you thought it was, if you're willing to just let it all go and want to see and know, that's when the happy dream starts showing up. And it is not serving the purpose of continuing to stay separate. It's instead serving the purpose of being an effect of our choice for truth. Does that help?
Yeah, it's kind of like you wear it, even the good stuff, you wear it loosely.
You what? Say that again, I'm sorry.
You wear the world loosely, including the good dream.
Yes, 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 that's it. That's
you know, that whole thing, it's like seeking first the kingdom of heaven and all things will be added unto you. That's tricky because you're going to seek God in order to get those good things. No way. That's not what it's saying. You seek
right,
people.
Right.
Yeah.
We're seeking God for the sake of seeking God.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what makes us happy. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Let's read the final paragraph of this chapter, chapter 20. We're finishing it up. When you have looked on what seemed terrifying and seen it change to sights of loveliness and peace, when you have looked on scenes of violence and death, watched them change, excuse me, I'm going to read that one more time. When you have looked on scenes of violence and death and watched them change to quiet views of gardens under open skies with clear, life-giving water running happily beside them in dancing brooks that never waste away, who need persuade you to accept the gift of vision? And after vision, who is there who could refuse what must come after? Think but an instant just on this. You can behold the holiness God gave his Son, and never need you think that there is something else for you to see. Ah, that gave me goosebumps. Can we just look again at the contrast? Listen to, I mean, I take very literally what the Course is saying. When you have looked on what seemed terrifying and seen it change to sights of loveliness and peace, when you have looked on, think about the world right now, when you have looked on scenes of violence and death and watched them change to quiet views of gardens under open skies with clear, life-giving water running happily beside them in dancing brooks that never waste away, who need persuade you to accept the gift of vision? So this is what vision does. This is what our willingness to loosen our grip, to loosen our hold on the world, to hold it loosely, as Stephen said, and to pursue God just for the sake of pursuing God. This is what unfolds. This is what we learn how to see. How amazingly gorgeous is that?
Amazing.
I want that. I am willing. Oh, any final comments or questions?
Holding the space.
I think I heard Matt first. What's that, Matt?
I just wanted to say thank you for Corinne for just holding such a great space for the call. And I just love when everybody's so honest and courageous about applying this to their lives. It just is amazing. So thank you.
Thank you. And I really appreciate that honesty that all of us bring to this. It's really, really so powerful. Igor, were you going to add something?
Yeah, your really made me just made it obvious for me that this is what we want, really. This is what we want. And because right now, yes, we are right. Yes, those jerks are guilty and has to be punished. Yes, this, like, we believe that we are right and we know what is good and what is bad and how it all has to be arranged. But we are suffering from it, don't we? Don't we? It doesn't make us, you know, more happy from thinking that this president is bad guy, right? He is the bad guy, but I am the one who's suffering, right? And isn't this scenario is a much better version I mean, much better in terms of how you feel from it, right? And your, Corinne, made me really thinking that this is what we want, not this judgment and punishment thing that we think we know how to be arranged. Thank you.
Igor, thank you for saying that, because I'll just add, as you were talking, a sentence that we read in the paragraph prior just came forward. All meaning that you give the world outside must thus reflect the sight you saw within. So whatever politician is like driving us nuts, if we're then pointing the finger and placing the blame and making guilty, we are solidifying an error that we think that that's something separate outside of ourselves. It so clearly says, all meaning that you give the world outside must thus reflect the sight you saw. So if you're seeing craziness, it's because we have craziness in our minds. If we're seeing separation, it's because we have it in our minds, and that's where the healing comes from, is our choice, our different choice that we all have the power to make in any given moment, to choose for Holy Spirit and thus choose for love, or to just keep going down the fearful ego path and keeping the madness going. So yes, I know what I want above all else. I want to see. And I know you all do too. And that's why we come here every week. And I'm just so thankful and happy for that. So thank you, everyone. I love you all.
Corinne?
Yes,
I just wanted to check that we're still chatting after.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yes, we are. Love you, everybody. Have a great day.
Love you too, Corinne. Okay. Bye. Thank you.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.